Welcome to our latest episode of our Come and See podcast. My name is Heather Pierce, and I'm here with my mother, Christy Rooney, and a great friend of ours, Christy Johnston. And just to give you a little background information, I met her, what was that about? Was that 2 years ago?
I'd say 2 or 3 years
ago. Yeah. She was doing encounter services at her church where she used to associate pastor. And I had been friends with her on Facebook before that, but that was the first time we had met in person. And it was a very pivotal moment in my life. I was getting ready to do a women's conference at our church at the time, and it was one of those divine moments where you know God is really aligning something and something special and the beginning, you know, of a great relationship. And she is an ordained minister. She is the founder of Daughters Arise Mentoring Group. And she's just got a lot of great things going, does a lot of wonderful things for the kingdom. She's the author of 3 books. Do you want to tell us what the titles are?
Sure.
Of those?
The first book is Love Language, A Mother's Heart and a Daughter's Unspoken Love. It's our journey with our special needs daughter.
Yes.
The second one is I Know Who I Am. It's about knowing your true identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the third one is Kaleidoscope of Colors. And it's about soul winning and how to reflect God's light and build the kingdom.
Yeah, that's your newest one.
That's
right?
My newest one. That came out this summer.
Yeah. So we're gonna discuss a couple of different topics today, just kind of see where the Spirit leads us, and then at the end of it, we will let you talk a little bit more about anything you want to say about your books, and then as well as your Daughters Arise Mentoring Group.
Okay.
So we've just kind of been led to discuss a little bit about just religion and bitterness and kind of how to battle that. What would you say to anybody that is listening that might be going through some of that right now? I know it seems like a lot of people are,
yes,
to be honest. And I know we've talked a little bit about that, and it's something that I know could probably benefit a lot of people to hear from some wisdom and just different things.
Absolutely. Well, I believe that, you know, the Lord doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but
yes,
power, love, and a sound mind. And the enemy, his job description is to come and destroy that. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that the Lord wants to give us that is good, the enemy's going to try to come in and devour that. And he knows his time is short right now. Mm-hmm. So if he can come in and instill bitterness, or fear, or anxiety, or depression, anything that he can do to try to take a child of God out of the faith,
yes,
he's all about it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have to be so careful in these times that our feelings are hurt, or we get bitter, or in offense, or things like that, that we have the word hid in our heart,
yes,
that we're able to use the word of God against the enemy and send him to flight in Jesus' name. But, you know, I would say to anybody that's listening right now, I think the greatest revelation that I had probably when I was 20 years old, I'm 47 now, but I honestly didn't know that I was living in religion. I'd like to just share a little bit about that.
Yeah.
As far as I was raised in church and, you know, lived a good Christian life, had good parents, but I really didn't know that there was a difference in religion versus relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never really read my Bible at home. I never prayed at home. I just went to church and did, now that I know, the little religious checkbox.
Yeah.
Of that's just what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And so I never really studied the word for myself. I never had a personal relationship. I just did the church thing because maybe my parents told me I had to go, or
right,
my boyfriend was there, or what have you.
Yeah.
And so when I truly came into relationship with Jesus in 1998, my whole life changed. My whole thought pattern changed. My whole, the trajectory of my life went a totally different direction, because religion would say this. Religion would say, oh, I have to go to church. I have to go to Sunday school. I have to do this. I have to do that. Religion will make you feel like you have to live by a set of box rules.
Right.
Well, when I found relationship, I found that it was freedom. It wasn't rules and regulations and, oh, you've got to do X, Y, and Z, and, oh, God's going to get mad at you if you do this.
Yes.
When I found relationship, I got set free of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talk to a lot of people all the time, and it's honestly, in today's society, one thing that I find super disturbing is you will have somebody that's a born-again Christian, and they will say, they won't say this, they don't have to say it, but they want to see how close they can get to the world and still be saved,
mm-hmm.
But don't want to get far away enough from it to be set apart. You know,
right.
They want to live on that dangerous, lukewarm line
yeah.
of, I can probably get by with this.
Right.
And you know, I truly believe if you have a relationship with Jesus and you're not checking the religious checkbox, then if the whole world's doing it, you're going to run the other way.
Your heart's going to be in a different place.
Your heart is going to be in a different place. You won't walk the same. You won't talk the same.
Mm-hmm.
You won't watch the same movies.
Mm-hmm.
You will be set apart. And that's what the scripture tells us, that we are a holy people, separated unto God, you know,
right.
Called
into
holiness.
Something that came to me today, this morning, there was a scripture in Isaiah, you know, it talks about bringing forth, you know, him doing something new. And it was... the thought that came to me was, where we end, Jesus
Ooh, that's
begins.
Good. Yes.
And you know, that's when our heart, when that's our heart posture on that, we're not going to want to be, you know, but we're still going to make mistakes though.
Absolutely.
And we don't have to walk around in that bondage of religion of thinking, oh, well, we did this, so we're going to hell. You know, his grace is sufficient.
Absolutely.
But anyway, go ahead.
You know, my heart is that people would get a revelation of grace.
Yeah.
That you don't serve God to just to get the check mark to say, oh, I did good today. I prayed today.
Yeah.
I got my devotional done today. I did this and I did that. God's grace is sufficient for us and his mercy is new every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my biggest words with religion versus relationship is with religion, you don't have to do these things. I mean, religion says you have to do these
mm-hmm.
things, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship is like, I get to do these things.
Yes.
I get to serve the kingdom. I
yes.
get to go to church. I get to minister to people.
Yeah.
And I think the world as a whole, because I was once there, I didn't understand the difference in true personal relationship with Jesus and religion.
Neither did I.
You know, and I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said her and her husband, they're on different... levels spiritually in their faith, and you know, she wants to go to church, and she don't care what time it is, she just wants to be lost in the spirit and do all the things.
Right.
If it lasts more than 45 minutes or an hour, he's out. He's like,
yeah.
oh, you know. And to me, that's a religious spirit, and I'm not trying to judge anyone,
right.
but if you truly have a heart posture for the Lord, you're not going to be checking your watch,
right.
you're not going to be balancing your checkbook,
you're in your happy place,
you're in your happy place,
yeah.
and you're going to be there to worship him. You know, we were created to worship Jesus.
Right,
he
right.
inhabits the
yeah.
praises of his people.
Right. And whether that's in a church house or at home doing the
Absolutely.
Same thing, you're in your happy place if you're with Jesus. That's
mm-hmm.
the relationship. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, the bitterness thing, it creeps in slowly. It's not like anything. There's an old song, and I don't remember who sings it. You may remember it. It's called It's a Slow Fade. When you
oh,
give yourself away,
yeah, yeah,
it's a
uh-huh.
slow fade.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just wake up one day and say, I want to be bitter.
Right.
You know, that's
that takes
not how
root
it's
and grows. Yeah.
That's not how it happens. But I'll tell you, bitterness and offense, that's what the enemy is using the most, I believe, in this hour, is he knows if he can get you an offense or he can get you bitter. It's like a paper cut.
Yeah.
You know, it starts out small.
Yeah.
And you think, but then it kind of takes root, and bitterness is like a cancer. It will grow and grow. And if you don't get it by the root and get
yeah.
rid of it and allow the spirit to help you get rid of it, it begins to overtake you. And
right.
then it's all you think about, and everything makes you offended.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I hate it, but this society that we live in right now, I mean, somebody could be offended at me if I said, oh, I like my hair today. Oh, you're conceited.
Yeah.
You
right.
know?
Yeah.
I'm like... That
kind
offends me that you like yourself.
Yeah.
I actually preached a message one time
yeah.
that said I love myself. And I meant it in the fact, biblically, I use scripture, that
mm-hmm.
the world would be happier if I said I hate myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm conceited if I love who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
And that was my whole gist of the sermon was, I love who God created me to be.
Right.
But to the world, that's weird.
Yeah.
They would
even though there's a lot of selfishness and conceitedness in the world, you know.
Yeah.
I mean.
For sure. But, you know, I've had times in my life, I could tell you more times than I want to count, that I had a choice. And I think that's the biggest wisdom tip that I would want to give to a listener right now is that you are responsible for the behavior of one person, and that's yourself.
That's right.
So if there is a situation that arises and you have church hurt, you have family hurt, you have friend hurt, any type of hurt, it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
But how you handle yourself in the going through of that is going to determine the trajectory of the victory in your life, because you can grab a hold of that and say, this hurts, this offends me. And the scripture even says, Heather, we can be angry and sin not.
Right.
It can make you angry. Words hurt. It's how you use them that cost you, right?
Right.
Words are free.
Yeah.
But it's how you use them that cost you.
That's good.
And so whenever somebody, you know, might say something that can make me bitter or offended or it's a setup. It's a trap from the enemy.
It is.
It's a trap that he wants us to take the bait with and to become captivated in and help be held captive in that bondage of bitterness. Because if we are bitter, think about this. If we are bitter and we're offended, we cannot minister freely in love, the love of Jesus to anyone, because our heart is not in the right posture. It is holding things within us that are ugly and sinful and makes us think horrible thoughts. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I had one time, and I feel led to share this just because it's kind of comical, but I think a lot of people think that, you know, oh, you know, you're a pastor and, you know, you just help people. Oh, no. Pastoring is not the red carpet rollout. Pastoring is handling people that are mean and ugly. Not all the time, but I'm just saying. Yeah. This one, for instance, that I had, talk about making you bitter and just feel weird. I was fired up. I was ready to come out on Sunday night and preach. I had this awesome message. Man, I was feeling the Holy Ghost. I was fired up and ready to go. Came out of my office from studying and praying, was getting ready to take the pulpit, and a lady met me in the aisle of the church, and she was like, can I talk to you, Pastor Christy, for just a second? I thought she was going to give me a word of encouragement, maybe something wonderful before I took the stage.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, what's up? She was like, I just want to ask your forgiveness. And I was like, okay. I was like, did something happen? She was like, yes. She was like, I really don't like you. This was her words to me as I'm taking the pulpit.
Oh, no.
And I've never really liked your ministry, she said. But she said, I've harbored some bitterness and offense towards you, and I just want to know if you'll forgive me because I've said some really ugly things about you. Now, mind you, I'm walking out of my office down the aisle to take the pulpit to preach my heart out about the love of Jesus and to help people. And in the midst of that, the enemy stopped me, and I'm sitting here thinking, wow.
Yeah.
That was awful timing. That was terrible.
I was going to say, the details were in the timing of that with Satan.
And the enemy,
he was coming after you.
Of course, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar.
Yeah.
Immediately, it distracted me totally from the anointing I was walking in.
Oh, man.
It got me so sideways, and I was trying to reel it back in and captivate my thoughts that I actually had to walk up to my pastor and say, I need you to do something for about 10 minutes. And let me go regroup.
Oh.
I had, my thoughts were just, it was like a blow. Like, and this was, you know, somebody I thought highly of. And, you know, that's just one little for instance.
Right.
I mean, I could tell you millions. But the enemy's timing is epic. He'll hit you. You know, you'll be flying high. And the next minute you're like, what just happened?
Right.
Boy, I felt that fiery dart.
Right.
And if you're not careful to just shake that stuff off and say, Lord, I give this to you. I'm going to make, and here's one thing I want to share for the listeners is that you grow in wisdom and your maturity and your walk with Christ. And I always say that I can tell how mature someone is in their walk with Christ by the way they talk.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm listening to them, I can hear if they're really, they're bearing good fruit, if they're really living it out.
Well, what flow, it's flowing from.
Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
But what I would say is this, is you learn And you learn by having your armor on, by being in the Word and staying in prayer and walking in the Spirit. You learn that these things are going to happen all the time. It's not going to be something like, why is this happening to me? When you are advancing the kingdom, the enemy hates it.
Yes.
When you are walking in the Spirit and you've got you're glancing at your problems, but you're keeping your gaze on Jesus,
He
says, oh, what can I do to throw a fiery dart of offense or bitterness in them to trip them up?
Right.
Because He wants your fruit rotten.
Yes.
He wants you to live in bitterness and offense. And so what I would say to a listener right now is when something comes that you could take offense to and let bitterness and strife, I want you to look at that thing and say, devil, I see you. I have found you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to do this because I see what you're doing.
I
have the Word of God hid in my heart. And guess what? God gave me all power and authority over you.
Yes.
And I'm not going to take the bait.
Yes.
And what I have realized is that the more that I do that, the more that I have my armor on, the closer I am in my walk with the Lord, I can discern it and smell it a mile away. I know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
I know to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And I also know that I have to stay, just as John 15, abiding in the vine. If I'm not abiding in the vine and I get disconnected by any part, then the enemy's going to come in there and he's going to try to set up camp in that bitterness and make me offended. And then the last thing I want to say on that is that if you do take the bait and you allow bitterness and offense to set up camp in you, you will never be effective for the kingdom. God will never use you.
Yep.
And, you know, the Bible says if you have aught with a brother, to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know, this is just wisdom. If you go to someone and you try to make it right and you say you're sorry, even though you didn't do anything, sometimes you have to take the high road. You did your part.
Right.
And you can't make somebody else, you know, forgive you or love you or do, but it's off of you.
Right.
You have fulfilled the biblical part of what God has asked you to do. And so when you live in that state, I have had to, as I say, fallen on the sword a lot of times when I'm thinking, I didn't even do anything. I'm not apologizing.
Yeah.
But to make peace and to be able to move on, I would just say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, if I've done anything.
Right.
And my flesh is screaming, you ain't done anything.
Yeah. Right.
But to take the high road, and when you walk in peace knowing that you have tried to the best of your ability to make it all right, then you're free from that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and I pray that it's, that really has ministered to the listeners, because I know that it's ministering to me for sure. You know, it, bitterness is, like you said, it's not something that you seek out. It's definitely something though that I mean, I'm just going to be honest, you know, I've struggled with that more since I have been called to do something for the kingdom than before.
But you know why? Because the enemy doesn't want you advancing the kingdom.
But what I am figuring out is, you know, I'm picking up on those signs a lot sooner, you know, and I might spend the night there for a few nights, you know, but I'm not setting up a full camp like what you were just talking about. I'm learning how to, you know, move on quicker, be at peace, even if, you know, and it may be that we feel that we've been wronged or hurt, and it may be very apparent that we have been, and there may never be any apology given to us either, but we have to learn how to make peace in those moments too, even if we may never see that apology.
Exactly.
We may, you know, and the fact of it is we all have flesh. So, you know, I may see something my way, somebody else may see something their way, and we all just have to figure out how to be at peace with that and do what God has individually, you know, called us to do. But I do believe that there's probably a lot more people out there that struggle with the bitterness that actually stems from religion, like we've talked about the religious spirit that is even in the church, you know, not to talk bad about the church, but you know, it's just like a family, you know, when you get close to people and you start realizing things, and then there's hurt, you know, and all these things. But I just keep trying to focus on, you know, kind of like my message at the 11th hour revival, like just know what I'm fighting for, and what I'm fighting for is the kingdom ahead.
That's right.
And what we're fighting for is a place where we're not going to have to worry about any
that's
of that.
Right.
And I hope we all can get there, even whether it's somebody that's hurt me or somebody that I've hurt, you know, unwillingly or something like that. The goal is for us to all land there and
that's
to
right.
never have to deal with any of those feelings or any bitterness or anything that the enemy could
well,
throw
and back
us.
To that religious spirit, you know, it's everywhere, but really what the root of a religious spirit is control.
Yeah.
They want to have control over, you know, and it's not just in a church house, but I'm going to use that as an example because I've been an associate pastor for 8 years. A religious spirit will say, oh, I hope so-and-so doesn't shout today or speak in tongues because so-and-so's here and we don't want to offend them.
Right.
And it's all biblical.
Yeah.
Or a religious spirit will say, well, we never do it that way. We sing two songs and a message and we're done.
Right.
A religious spirit wants control.
Yes. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit
and it's
have
an
control.
It's an organized spirit that doesn't want anything to get out of the box,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so when a religious spirit is trying to be an operation in a church or in a person, it doesn't matter what you say, they're going to be right and you're going to be wrong.
Right. Yes.
And, yeah. you know, when the spirit of freedom is moving in your life or in a church house, then you don't have anything that's binding. There's no boundaries. It's just, let's follow the spirit and
yes.
see what the Lord leads us.
Yes.
And I personally, you know, have been in churches that have a religious spirit, and you really do feel bound. You think, my goodness, if I say amen, somebody's going to throw me out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's all biblical stuff, but maybe they're just not used to that.
Right.
And, you know, they're just scared of offending someone.
Yeah.
I read something right. the other day. I actually posted it on Facebook. And I said, you know, stop letting society dictate what truths you share so you'll be liked.
Right.
You know,
yes.
the truth is the truth.
Yes.
I'm not entitled to give you my opinion of what the Word says, but I can give you the opinion of my King. I can tell you what the Word says.
Right.
Because my opinion is null and void if it's not what the truth of the Word says.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
they can argue with the Word all day long or argue with me, but they can't argue
they
with
can't
the Word.
They can't argue with the Word. That's right. Or they can, but
they can,
it's,
but
it's not going to get them anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you have any advice for people that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, just maybe church hurt
mm-hmm.
and they're just lost, you mm-hmm. know, and don't know what the next step is to
I do.
Take.
I believe that I've been through that myself a lot. Number one, I would say church hurt is real, and it's a sad thing that I can honestly say for myself, I can't say for anybody but myself, that the most hurt I've ever had was in church. I'm not putting that on the church, but church hurt is the worst hurt because you think it's family. You think it's, you're tight, you know, you trust them, you believe in them, and then something happens and it turns. But I'm going to share just a story that I think would help the listeners of something that I endured and overcame. And it's just having maturity of walking in the Spirit to be led to do this. So if you have had church hurt, I had a situation. It was probably back in 2016, 2017. I had a call on my life. I was active in a church. Loved the church family, loved the pastor. I mean, we were all tight. We had eaten lunch together. I mean, it was just a family. And I had a call on my life, and I had actually gone up into the altars, and I was praying with people. Just as the Spirit led me, I would lay hands on people and pray for them. And there was this man and woman that were in the altar, and it was clear that they were seeking more of the Lord. And they were both seeking the Lord, and so the Lord had given me a word for them. And I walked over to them, and I laid my hand on them very gently, and I started speaking a word into them. And at this time, in this particular place that I was at in the church, the youth pastor walked over to me, and if looks could kill, I was dead. And he looked at me in an altar service, and he said, don't mess them up. I've been working with them. Now, you talk about religious spirit. You talk about church hurt. I was like, what just happened? I mean, we're in the middle of a altar call, like, you know, the spirit of territory, religion.
Yes.
Don't mess them up. I'm going to tell you something. You talk about hurt. And so when I went and sat down, and I sat there just, I mean, I was mad. I was crying. I thought, I cannot believe this just happened. Like, is this really real? This really happened in the church house, in the altars. And I am moving in the spirit. And I just got like chewed out and whatever by the youth pastor.
Right.
So as soon as service was over, I'll speed the story up. I immediately went to the pastor, went and got my husband, and I was like, we need to talk right this moment. Mm-hmm. And so he got, you know, everybody involved when we went in there, and I told him what happened, and I mean, the pastor was shocked, he was embarrassed, and the youth pastor was out of line. He was in his flesh. He was in his flesh. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just being 100% honest, in that meeting, he was sitting there so cocky and so arrogant, like, well, it's almost like somebody that they have a territorial spirit, like, I'm going to win them and I don't want you to win them type thing. I don't know if
it's a competition.
Competition, yeah. And so we're all sitting there, and I had a choice in that moment. I was mad. I was hurt. Boy, was I church hurt. Woo, it was you know. And I thought, I have a choice right now. I can stay mad and march out of here, or I can sit here and try and work this out. And I'm going to tell you what ended up happening. Now, we had some words, not nice words at all between all of us, between the pastor, the youth pastor. I mean, it was major church hurt, okay?
Yeah.
At this time, I was just a church goer, so I was not in a position. But at the end of probably that hour and a half, 2 hour meeting, we all ended up on our faces on the floor, repenting.
That's amazing.
We held hands. I forgave him in that moment. I had a choice to make. And I really believe at that moment, whether he was sorry or not, I thought, this is a pivotal moment for me.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that since we all handled it maturely and correctly to this day, no, we don't go to that church anymore, and we left on good terms and all that. We actually saw he and his wife out at the movies about 6 months ago. We sat with them and had popcorn, and nobody holds any offense.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very immature moment. It was a very, but we handled ourselves as mature adults.
Right.
We addressed the situation, and we all six ended up on the floor, on our faces, crying and repenting, and we worked it out. And, you know, to me, that's a victory.
Yes.
Because I've had many other circumstances since then, but I'm going to tell you, that's a brutal church hurt. A brutal. Yeah. I could have right then said, I'm never going back to church.
Right.
I'm not trusting anybody. I'm not listening to anybody. I could have got bitter and offended. And I mean, look where it would have taken me if I did that.
Right.
Look at all the souls that would be lost if I wasn't fulfilling the call of God in my life. And that's what the enemy was doing, trying to get me in that moment offended and bitter, where I would quit serving God and say, they're all fake, they're all, you know, and that's just a true story.
Yeah.
Now, do I handle everything correctly? No. Yeah. But I can tell you this, that if you have had church hurt, and I know I've had it so much. That's just one story I felt led to share.
Right.
You have to handle yourself maturely and tenderly, and you have to hide yourself in your prayer closet.
Yes.
And allow the Spirit of the living God to soften you, to hold you, to cry it out, to pray for your enemies, pray for those that tell you, don't you mess them up. You've got to pray for them. And I'm telling you, it's not, the forgiveness isn't for you or for them, it's for you. It releases you in that moment that I choose to forgive. I choose to not be bitter. I choose to move on. I choose to be kind when they're going to be ugly. And you say that, that sounds so easy. I'm telling you, if you will abide in the Lord and walk in the Spirit and not be looking at things in your flesh and letting your flesh take over and your flesh rule and your flesh tell you how hurt you are, if you will submit your flesh and crucify your flesh to the Lord, He will help you, and you will be able to say, you know, that doesn't hurt as bad today.
Right.
and I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna choose to be better and not bitter.
Oh, that's what I was just telling her earlier.
And
we could
it's
call
gonna take time.
Episode, yeah.
It's better, gonna take better. Time.
Yeah.
But over time, the more you do it, it's like anything. As yeah. I was saying, you build that fortitude and almost mm-hmm. that spiritual tenacity to say, yeah. I recognize this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to forgive and move on. It's
right.
okay.
Right.
And I'll be honest on this, that people respect you more when they see what you've been through and how people have treated you.
Right.
When you forgive and move on, and they're right. like, how did you do that?
Right. Exactly.
And it gives you the opportunity to witness and say, only Jesus.
That's right.
Only Jesus. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because in our flesh, there's no way we would forgive
right.
them. In our flesh, they are a thorn in our side.
Right. Yeah.
But they're important to Jesus. You're important to Jesus. I'm important to Jesus.
Right.
And if it matters to us, it matters to Him.
Exactly.
And so my wisdom for anybody would be, yeah, get mad, cry it out, stomp your foot, do whatever you want to do. But you can't stay there.
Yeah.
And you have to walk in the maturity of the Spirit, allowing His Spirit to help you.
Right.
You know, one thing that I love to teach about is about how the Holy Spirit is our helper. But so many times we don't allow the helper to help us.
Yeah.
It's like sure. He sent us His Spirit to help us. But we're like, I don't need any help.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you do.
Right.
We all do.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, you know, when we first started this podcast, I told the Lord, I'll always be real, you know. And if you tell me to say something, I'll say it. If you tell me not to say something, I won't say it. And I've tried to be very strategic too, you know, when I get hurt, you know, like I don't need to do an episode today
mm-hmm.
because I don't want something that is really, truly not me mm-hmm. or not my heart to be portrayed in a way that, you know, confuses people about me or, you know, messes up my witness.
Absolutely.
But I do feel the Lord leading me to share, you know, that I've been church hurt and I love so many people. In the church that I was going to. And, like, I don't know that I can even really actually describe how much mm-hmm. I love each of them.
Right.
But I also know too that God works things out sometimes too, to where, you know, maybe when you're not moving your feet and you're not going in His will, that He will allow things to happen that might move you on into, you know, the next phase of,
yes.
you know, because like what we were talking about earlier, you know, I felt God for, you know, 2 years now, laying it on my heart, get out of the four walls,
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, go to church, find a landing place, but the harvest is out there.
Absolutely.
And it's plentiful, you know, you got to go and find these people and help these lost people. You've got to relate to these people. You can't just be sitting comfortable. You
Amen.
Just, you can't
That's
do
right.
that. We're not in that season anymore, but it still does, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I was first going through this, just, I mean, it was just recent, but I went through all the emotions. I went through, you know, I was very angry. I was very, confused. I didn't feel like there was a path of any kind of reconciliation because I didn't feel like the communication was there. I didn't
right.
feel like, I felt like there had been other prior things that had happened and there wasn't really any receptiveness to, you know,
yes.
let's be honest about this. Let's work this out, you know? And so I didn't feel like there was a path there to, move forward,
right.
I guess you could say. But it doesn't change that it hurt.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't change also though that I love those people. But what I've had to do is what you were just saying, you know, just rest in Him.
Yes.
And know that I'm not perfect either.
Right.
I mean, I have my flaws just like other people do. and know that regardless of how I perceive something or anybody else perceives something, I have to do what God calls me to do. And, but I can't stay in that anger. And I was at the beginning, you know, I wasn't even, it was like this roller coaster of emotions. I actually wasn't mad at the beginning. I was hurt. And then, you know, it's just like anything else. Then you get mad. Then you get hurt again.
That's how grief does, though. I mean, you go through all those emotions.
And it's felt like that. It's felt like grief because it's felt like, you know, something that you've
been
so close to and poured your heart into for so long. And even though you haven't been perfect, you feel like you've really given your heart, you know, to this and to these people. And it's turned out like this. And you know where it's coming from. You know that the enemy is attacking, you know, on all sides. But, you know, I told God when he called me, I will never let anyone keep me from doing what you've told me to do.
Amen.
And I felt like that for a very long time, that I've been held down and kept from doing and saying and being a certain way. But it doesn't change my love. I forgive. I'm moving forward in peace and love. But what I would actually say to anybody listening that has been through these types of things is, you know, there's going to be that anywhere you go. It's all comes down to where is God leading you to go? You know, what is God leading you to do? Because you're going to have any of that anywhere you go. But it wasn't God that did it.
That's right.
It wasn't God that did it. It was, and it really, at the end of the day, isn't even the people. It's
the spirit behind it,
the spirits that are working within them, the enemy that's working and sowing the discord and all the things that the enemy does. That is what you're fighting against. And also that I just pray that we as a people, as a church body, understand that it is so much not about the building. We need to go to a building. We need to, you know, like what we were talking about earlier, like, yes, we need to go. We need to worship, you know, when we can and do all those things. But man, there's so much out there to go and be the church.
That's right.
And, you know, do you want to share with us just a little bit of your story and your situation right
sure,
now?
Sure, absolutely. So, as I said, I was the associate pastor and held a position. You know, I went from going to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting Wednesday mornings, Wednesday night service, to really, I do not get to go to a church building a whole lot anymore. And number one, my reason being is I have a special needs daughter that is 100% care, and I don't have as much help with her in the home. And so I'm restricted as far as being able to go. But, you know, God knows your heart's desire, and He knew that, I mean, God called me. I'm going to say this. God called you, and the devil can't fire you. So when God calls you, the devil can't fire you.
Yes.
And the Lord knew that I still had to have an outlet to do what He's called me to do, to minister. And so I believe that's how Daughters Arise Mentor Network was born, is I have known for a long time, over the past, you know, 15, 20 years, I have had a calling for women on my life. I've done home Bible studies. You know, I've had 30 people in my house to outgrow in a house to rent a building. And I mean, I've always had a heart for women. But during this time and season, when I resigned the pastoring 16 months ago, if I was not ministering every day or reaching someone or discipling them, I truly did not feel fulfilled. That's how you know you're called. I mean, it's like you miss it. But God provided a way. And so through this, my heart's desire, my dream was born. And a year ago, I began to have a dream planted in my heart about mentoring women. And, you know, mentoring is discipleship. Mentoring is taking people from where they are to where they want to go. It's not counseling. It's not coaching. Right. Mentoring is helping thrust people into the harvest field, helping light their soul on fire for Jesus and helping them run on. Yes. Coming alongside them is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so through my life experiences, through the fivefold ministry that I've been in, God is using where I'm at and the knowledge and the circumstances, places that He's put me in to help others daily. Through Daughters Arise Mentoring Network. I currently, to date, I have 52 students in my mentoring school, which includes, I make e-courses to put on our Teachable app that people can watch and learn. I do one-on-one mentoring sessions with people, talk to them about where they're at in the relationship with the Lord, and then give them wisdom and knowledge through His Word, Spirit-led. Yes. And I'll say this, what's different about what I do in other mentorship programs is mine is definitely Holy Spirit led. I'm not going and grabbing other books. I'm using the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead, God, direct me. Yes. And I'll make you laugh. The Holy Ghost. Yeah. That word scares everybody. I'm a Holy Ghost girl. So when I say Holy Spirit, I feel like, because I'm a Holy Ghost girl, but yeah, that scares some people. So that makes me laugh. But anyhow, I'll ask them questions. I'll pray over what they tell me. I seek the Lord for direction, and then I allow His Spirit to direct me to help pour wisdom into them. And I don't allow, I believe the Lord has allowed me to go through things in life where I can use my personal circumstances and stories to help people, because they can look at me and say, if she can do it, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Because, outside looking in, I may make things look easy, but I have a very hard life, a very, very hard life.
Yes.
But I do believe God supplies supernatural strength for that. Yes. So through the Daughters Arise Mentor Network, I offer, I teach people the Word of God. I make e-courses. We do life together in a community group. We meet once a month. Lots of things to offer, but if you were interested in checking it out, you would go to ChristyJohnson.com, go to Daughters Arise, join Daughters Arise, and there's three different tiers you can choose from about where you're at in your walk with the Lord and what you would need. And
I'll put a link on there too. As well.
I will say this, that I believe that everybody needs a spiritual mentor in their life. I never had one myself until a year ago, and it's changed my life completely. Yeah. Never knew I needed one, never had one. And when I got one, look where I am today.
Yeah.
She spoke life into me. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't realize that people need us.
Yeah.
People need us, and they need
life. You don't have to, but would you care to share that story that you told us about, you just were at a place in your life where you felt like you had just been demoted? You don't have to tell the whole story, but just you were feeling kind of defeated.
So I was feeling really defeated. I mean, the church I was at, I mean, they loved me. They treated me so well. And when God told me that season was over, I was like, man, I could stay here the rest of my life and be good.
Yeah.
And so when I resigned, the enemy got in my head and was like, man, you're getting a demotion. You're getting kicked out. You're not the associate pastor anymore. You don't have a title anymore. You don't have a desk. You don't have a chair. I know that's not stupid,
no,
but that's just the stuff that he was saying to me.
Yeah.
And so I just felt mopey for months. I was just like, I felt weird. And I'll be honest and say, I still go to the same church, love the people. There's no reason I don't want to go to church there. But the first few months, it was just so awkward.
Yeah.
I would walk in and be like, somebody's sitting at my desk. Somebody's in my chair. And I'm like, wait, that's not my chair anymore. I resigned. You did this, I demoted myself, I thought. And the enemy really put his foot on that and made me think that, look what you've done. You've given it all up. You've lost it. But what I didn't know is, insert Dr. Jamie Morgan into my life. A friend invited me to a conference, and I met Dr. Jamie Morgan, who is my spiritual mentor now. And as I was sharing these things with her, the first time I met her, you would just have to know Dr. Jamie. She's from New Jersey, and she's very bold and very aggressive and Holy Ghost filled. But when I was telling her these things, she immediately got onto me, and she was like, stop. She was like, I hear what you're saying, but that is all lies from the enemy. She was like, Christy Johnston, you have not been demoted. She said, the enemy has lied to you. She said, God said that he has delivered you from the local church to take you to the regional, the national church. You're getting outside of these four walls because you've outgrown the local church. And she flipped the script on my mind. And what I felt, demotion, all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost stand up inside of me, and I thought, I have just been promoted.
Yes.
And it's like it totally changed everything for me, because the enemy had just made me feel like that I had demoted myself. Look what you've done. Look, mm-hmm. you don't even have this or that. And I'd gotten lost in my title. Let's just be honest. Right. I've even written a book about my identity in Christ, but I got lost in my title.
Yeah.
But when she spoke that into me, it's like everything changed, and I began to look outward instead of inward.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, God just promoted me. And yes, do I go to church? I go when I can. I love my church. I go, you know, and get ministered to, but I self-feed. And the church for me right now is here. It is at my office, at my house, ministering, going to the streets, using social media. You know, social media is the town square of today.
Yeah.
That's, you know, back in the old days, you'd go to the town square to preach the gospel. Social media is the town square for today. Yeah. Podcasts and videos and such. Yeah. So I just want to say that, you know, don't allow the church, the four walls, to confine you and to make you be held back from the ministry God's called you to do. Because in the midst of all that, I heard his voice. He told me that season was over. And the reason it was over is I had done all that I could do within those four walls. Right. And he was leveling me up to grow and to go into bigger and better things. Not that wasn't great, but he had more for me.
Right.
The ministry was bigger than that local facility for me.
Right.
And so he's already proven that over and over again. Right. You know, somebody reminded me, and this just came to me, and I just say this as humbly as I know how, but you know, I have 8,500 people that follow me on Facebook. I mean, I think that's a mega church, right? You know, I went to a church where I preached about 100 every week. So, I mean, I would say if I have 8,500 people follow me on the town square of social media, then, you know, look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, so
I thought about that a lot.
Don't let the enemy hinder you and say, you've got to be here in these four walls. Listen, I believe, and I'll just prophesy right now on this podcast, that those four walls of the church are just going to crumble down, not for any defeat for the church, but I'm saying as we disciple people, those walls will go, and we will take Jesus to the streets, and we will win millions and thousands of people, because we're not going to have a religious mindset that it has to be us four no more in this church, and you can't be used anywhere else. That's just a lie from the enemy.
Good.
And so, you know, I just want to say in closing here that if we will truly be the hands and feet of Jesus, he will use us at Walmart, at the grocery store, at our work, and we just can't be confined to that box. I have a good friend that has a new podcast called Out of the Box. Her name's Kalina Holly. I'll plug that for her.
Yeah.
And it's about where we're at in today's society, about you have to be out of the box. You can't be in this box and win people.
Right.
You got to be out of the box.
That's right. And we can't put God in a box either.
That's right. And religious spirits, like we've said in the beginning, keep you in a box. You can't do that. Oh, we don't do that here. Yeah. Well, if it's in the Bible, then we do it.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and we've got to get past the point, too, of just thinking, you know, our ways and our thoughts are the only
or saying it's always been done this way. This is how we do it.
Right.
Well, times change.
Right.
You know what? I used to be a size 4 and I'm an 8 now. I got fatter. Things change. They don't always stay the same.
That's
We have to just move with it.
Yeah. So. And as long as we're moving with God.
Absolutely.
There's no problem in change.
And I think our prayer should be every day, you know, God, keep me in right alignment. Don't let me move to the left, to the right.
Yes.
Don't let me get ahead of you, behind you.
Yes.
Keep me right in the center of it. You know, it's just like anything. If you get out of alignment, everything gets out of whack.
That's right.
You know, so our prayer should be, Lord, keep me in alignment. Keep me pure and holy, tried and true. And let me walk with you every step of the way. And as we stay that way with a repentant heart every day, then we'll be all right.
That's exactly right. Well, I've enjoyed this, and I know it's certainly penetrated to my heart and ministered to me a lot of the things that you've said, and I just thank you for joining us. And do you want to tell just one more time what your books are? I'm going to put everything, all the links for your Daughters Arise, and then all of that as well. Yeah. But
if you're interested in any of the books, they are on my website. You can order them on Amazon. They're linked on my website. There's a bookstore on
and
there.
What is your website again?
ChristyJohnston.com. Oh, www.ChristyJohnston.com.
Okay. I'll put that on.
There's a bookstore on there with all my books. I mean, I have them local as well. You can always message me, but you can get them on Amazon. And then you can find all the information for becoming a member of Daughters Arise Mentoring Network on my website as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
I really
you for
enjoyed
having
it.
Me. Mm-hmm.